Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of sin.
Ben Lewis, do you still have your t-shirt that says "We may be young, but we know our shit"?
That's a great, great question, Dylan Leach. And the answer is probably not. And I always hated that slogan. Even though I think I had something to do with creating it, I never really liked it. Because I was not conservative in the political sense, but just like conservative in every other sense. And it made me deeply uncomfortable wearing that shirt around the place. So no, I haven't got it. And no, I wouldn't wear it again, despite my deep, deep love for sin.
And you were actively involved in sin during your era. I seem to recall you were the programming manager and you had sway. You could make or break careers at a very young age.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Giving all this power to like a 20-year-old. So I was programming manager for a year and the assistant programming manager was Mia Stewart, who now lives in LA and works in movies and stuff and is brilliant. And it was like a good cop, bad cop act. She'd be like, oh, this sounds like really cool, quirky. You know, these guys would be fantastic. I'd be like, no, they're garbage. Like they can go to like Eastern Community FM. We want this to sound slightly professional. And I remember there are some people now who've had very successful careers. And I mean like very successful careers in radio who I rejected for a show 3 times in a row before the managing director finally said, you've got to give these guys a show because like their mums are complaining or something. And then in the end, they got a show. I relented for the final quarter of the year and they went on to have wildly successful careers in commercial media, which shows I knew nothing, but that's no surprise because I was 20 years old.
What are some of the standout memories you've got from your time at the Mighty 90.7?
You know what? It's all the people I met. So I did shows with Andrew McDonald, who now is like a wildly successful children's book author. Bea Pashos and Connor Ayres, who have worked at the ABC on Hard Quiz and all sorts of other stuff, like just getting to meet a whole bunch of people. And it was like you found your tribe. So all through high school, I grew up in Ringwood, which, you know, is lovely, is Ringwood, but it's not that sort of like inner city, media savvy sort of connected part of the world. And all I was interested in was the media. And then I got to uni and got to SYN and all of a sudden realized there were tons of people out there who are kind of like radio nerds like me who were interested in the same thing. And that was the best part of it. The worst memory I have is when your programming manager used to get a phone call when the link on top of Mount Dandenong stopped working. And so yep. you get a phone call from the studio from someone doing the graveyard shift. 99% of the time they were high. And they'd be like, yeah, man, I don't know what's going on, but something's not working. Like we're talking and there's nothing coming out of the radio. And you turn on the radio and there was a backup CD. So when the transmitter stopped working, I'm pretty sure it was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous by Good Charlotte would play. And that song still gives me nightmares.
Yeah, there's a few backup CD songs. I think it was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Hurricane by Faker, and Totally Addicted to Bass. But yeah, as I've noticed throughout talking to ex-sinners, there's this backup CD songs that are quite triggering for people that are actively involved.
It was really triggering. And then I don't know how we got stuff to air half the time. Like we had Sam O'Reilly, who was just like technical wizard who could do anything. But like this was a bunch of students putting to air a radio station. There was a physical dish on top of a mountain. And somehow we were in charge of making sure that all happened. It's a miracle that we weren't off air way more than we actually were.
I'm pretty sure there would be weekends or entire week periods where we wouldn't go to air because we hadn't paid a link bill from Telstra or something like that.
You just didn't tell anyone that was the case, particularly the sponsored shows. Important to let them always think that they were going to air. And then
absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have any particular on-air memories from your time?
So you know what? The first show I did on air was called Mornings Without Carrie Ann, which was all about TV, basically. And we'd been doing this show for like a year and we had like all these really good big name TV guests on, sort of talking about the industry, that sort of thing. And we'd been building up to trying to get Carrie Ann Kennelly on the show. And like, she was working at Channel 9, she was hosting Mornings with Carrie Ann at the time, obviously. And we were like, she's not going to want to do this. And we ended up getting in like, I think Confidential, like gossip column in the paper, wrote a little thing about us at some point. And somehow got through to a person. One day we just got this phone call out of the blue being like, hi, we're Kerry Ann's PR people. She can do Monday if that's good for you. And she came on the show and she was bloody brilliant. She was such good fun. Mm-hmm. I can't believe my greatest on-air moment involves Kerry Ann Kennelly. But for us, it was just like, you know what? We'd spent a year working up to this moment. It was magic. And she thought she was talking to cool young people, and little did she realize she wasn't. She was just talking to me.
It was a bit like closure for your series, Mornings Without Kerry Ann.
Yeah, I felt it brought it to a natural close. I feel like I'm rabbiting on about the lack of coolness thing, but I didn't realize how cool people were until I started at Sin. Like, I don't think I'd ever been to a gig until I started at Sin. Again, I'm from Ringwood. Like, culture in Ringwood was the Croydon Hotel. And then you go in and all of a sudden it's people who like all these bands you've never heard of before, and there'll be bands coming in and playing in the studio and all that sort of stuff. And it just blew my mind. And like, I must have looked like the nerdiest out of place person. Aside from yourself, you and I might have been the nerdiest out of place people in like, the coolest place in RMIT.
I think the thing is, you might have been from Ringwood, but I was from Brunswick, and I was I should have been cool, but I wasn't.
I cannot believe, like, people. I remember we had a programming meeting once, and someone was like, "Oh, do you want to go to a gig at whatever this place was?" And I was like, "I have no idea where that is." And like, people looked at me, they were like, "How do you function as like a 19-year-old without knowing where the ESPY is?" I'm like, "Again, I'm from Ringwood." So Sin opened my world to a whole bunch of new people and experiences and music, and that was great.
It brought you from Zone 3 to the wonders of Zone 1.
It did, although I never ever paid for a ticket, obviously.
No, no one paid for Met cards. No, you ferivated. That's how we got to shows. Ben, these days I see you on SBS and you've got the Europe beat for SBS World News. And as I mentioned to you before we did this interview, that means you get top billing on the news as opposed to the other channels if you're doing it through SBS. But I'm seeing you cover things like the World Cup in Qatar, the Queen's funeral. I think you're at the Ukraine-Poland border.
I've been in Ukraine all year.
Like, you've Boris Johnson's antics, you've covered some pretty heavy stuff. Like, you're not doing puff pieces, you're doing pretty heavy news. But compared to what you're doing now, where are you being sent out for things like OVs with Sin?
I went to some pretty dangerous places for OBs with Sin. You know what? I can't remember any off the top of my head. We did a whole bunch of them. We did in like the outer burbs because I think we were trying to like get more of a listener base in the outer suburbs. But man, as I said, I was from Ringwood. These are my people. That was fine. Totally fine. You know, it's funny. Doing all the serious stuff though, which is obviously a world away from Sin, what Sin does teach you, and I've spoken with like tons of other people who are ex-Sinners as well, like you're doing 3 hours on air a week, however often it is you're doing, it teaches you how to talk underwater. Like it teaches you the basics of broadcasting about how not to lose your place, how to connect thoughts together, all that sort of stuff. This sounds really wanky and pedantic, but it's actually a really good base in whether you're doing something like you're doing sort of content creation, lighthearted stuff, or doing the, you know, the serious running around in a helmet and flak jacket like I'm doing. It teaches you the basics of broadcasting. And that's why I'm so glad and slightly amazed that after 20 years, it's still kind of going strong.
It is bizarre that this was 20 years ago and, like, you know, the time you and I were heavily involved, some of these Sinners, Matt, weren't even born.
Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? You said before we started recording this, you said that I was wearing a dad jumper, which is just about sums up where I am at the moment. But, yeah, man, that's the great thing about Sin. Like, you'd have this wholesale change of people after, like, 5 years, every 5 years. What was the cutoff? The cutoff was like 25 or 24 or
25,
something.
25, yeah.
25. And then you just booted out the door. And most people, by the time they got to like 21 or 22, were starting to like get work in the industry or moved away or whatever it might be. But, you know, that's awesome. That's how it should be. And I haven't listened to Sin for a while, living in London for the last 10 years. But I hope that it's unlistenable to me as a 38-year-old now. Because I don't, you know, like, there are people who whinge about Triple J not being as good as it was back in the day and all that sort of stuff. It's not that. It's just that time has changed, people change, the next generation likes different stuff. I hope it's catering perfectly to the current generation of 19 and 20-year-olds. And I'll listen to Smooth and just dip in occasionally to enjoy the occasional technical stuff up, which I hope still happens.
Oh, I hope that for this special that we're doing, it'll be full of technical stuff ups. I wouldn't have it any other way.
To chuck a few in there for old time's sake. You know, just make one of the songs, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous by Good Charlotte. And
that's
there
a
you
good
go.
Idea. Why not just go off air for a couple of minutes and then see if the station goes to backup CD?
Yeah, why not? I can't see anything wrong with that.
And then I'll call you.
Yeah, please don't. Actually, you know, middle of the night, that's fine. Daytime, my time, that's all good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no worries. All right, well, Ben Lewis, it's been an absolute delight and joy to chat to you.
It has been a pleasure, Dylan, and you are one of the big Sin success stories, and so I congratulate you on that, and I think it is remarkable how far so many people have gone having had their roots at Sin, even the average ones. That's not you. That's just the average ones.
That's all up for interpretation.
I never gave them shows, don't worry. I'm sounding so cruel in this. I'm sorry. I love Sin.
You're enjoying every minute of it.
I love every minute of radio we put to air.
Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of Sin.